scribes came to Jesus, and he asked him, "Rabbi, what is the most important law?" And Jesus said, "The Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul." And then quoting from Leviticus, Jesus said, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Spirit of the living God, now move within my heart, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength, you are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. I want to put a question in your minds that I'd like you to hang on to through at least this part of the service. What is, undoubtedly, the greatest sin of all? What is the greatest sin that we can commit? Got that one? All right, hang on to it. We will revisit that in a bit. You know, our gospel lesson is part of this much larger picture of events that is taking place. Jesus and his disciples have entered into Jerusalem for his last week. And at every step along the way, the good church people, the good church authorities of his time, did everything they could to disrupt Jesus, to discredit him, to make him appear to be something other than what he was. Let's face it, they got after his disciples because as they are walking through the field, they were plucking grain in their fingers and getting the husk off them and eating them. And they said, "What's going on here? Your disciples, they're breaking the Sabbath." Another time, Jesus was doing something that had to do with food, and he didn't stop to wash his hands the way that they thought he should. Notice, should. And they had a cow about that one. They got all bent out of shape. He healed on the Sabbath. No, you can't do God's work on the Sabbath, right? Yeah. And it went on and on and on and on and on. At every turn, the scribes, the Pharisees, the authorities of the church were doing everything they could to discredit Jesus. Now, here we are today in our gospel lesson. I can just see the disciples and how they were at that moment. When all of a sudden this other scribe steps up and they go, "Oh, how much longer, Lord, must we put up with this?" Another one of these wannabe experts. And he asks Jesus a question. What is the most important of the commandments? What's the most important part of the law? And Jesus gives the answer that when it is followed, has the capacity to draw the entire population of the world together. The Shema, "Hear, O Israel, your Lord, your God is one. Love your neighbor as yourself." And love your neighbor as yourself. And then shock of shock, the scribe says, "Rabbi, you've got it right. This is exactly right." He says, what you've just said is more important than all of the burnt offerings and the slaughter that takes place on the altar. What you've just said is more important than all of them all combined. And notice how Jesus responds to that. To the scribe, he says, you are drawing near to the kingdom. You're drawing near to the kingdom of God. How do we feel about that? How do we feel about that? Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, and our neighbor as ourself. That great summary of the law that for generation after generation after generation of Anglicans, Episcopalians throughout the world have recited at the beginning of their services. The great summary of the law. We put such emphases into it. How are we doing? How are we doing? Tell me. Are we really loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, our strength? Are we really doing that? He and I had a conversation yesterday on the ramp over here. We ain't doing it very well sometimes. Father Brian and I, both of us confess it freely. We mess up. There are times when we just don't get it right. And our humanity rises up. And we just don't get it right. Fortunately, that's not all the time. Hey, boss? Amen. It's a good thing it doesn't happen all the time. Yeah, right. Okay. We agree on that. But what about the second part of it? Loving our neighbor as ourselves. How well are we doing on that? The sad fact is that for many people, not necessarily all of you, but for many people, what determines our neighbor, we're sort of like, you know, that other Pharisee who's trying to justify himself. Who is my neighbor, right? In another place where this is recounted. Because we don't like, you know, like Chicago Cub fans, the best baseball team there is, right? Amen. Some hands went up. Or we love baseball, unlike some people who have no use for it at all. Okay? Or we have a thing against Polacks like me. Because I am Polish, that's what I am. I know you knew there's something wrong with me, that's what it is. But, or they have an accent that we don't agree with. They have a nationality that we oppose. They have an occupation that we ask, well, what do you do for a living? And the reason we're asking is so we can categorize them and make sure that they're below us and we can think less of them. Or their sexual orientation is something we can't agree with. All things that then allow us to begin to see them as less than a child of God. And the moment we are able to categorize them as something less than a child of God, we can begin to use them, abuse them. And as the scribes and Pharisees and the religious authorities of his day even put them to death like they did with Jesus. All because we're able to take and categorize someone and say that they're not worth our time and our efforts. Because somehow or another, they're not our neighbor. We don't have to love them. Wow. As many of you know, I'm extremely pleased being a part of this church for all kinds of different reasons. But one of the biggest ones of all for me is the fact of what we were doing yesterday, what we were doing the day before, and what we've done over and over and over again since these hurricanes have come and hit us. And the things that we were doing before the hurricane was happening. And those are just some of the things, you know. I am so proud, in a very good way, of what the people of this congregation, of what this faith community is doing. And believe me, it is getting noticed out there. And for that, you all need to be proud. Yesterday, just as we are getting ready to begin to do distributions and feed people out of Dover, these ladies pulled up in a car and they got out and they had their arms filled up with food items, knowing full well what we were engaged in because they had seen it for themselves. And they, living in Dover, wanted to come and participate in our outreach, this ministry of love that we were doing in the name of Jesus. And then another rather miraculous thing happened that I experienced toward the end of the event. Two other ladies said to me, "You're giving out clothes. Would you like to have some baby clothes to give out? We do garage selling." They evidently do these perpetual things. And they said, "We got all these baby clothes we can't get rid of, but can we bring them and let you have, so you can give them away?" I said, "Oh yeah, we got a huge need for that." Because as you know, those of you who have been working this, we haven't been getting them. We have not been getting baby clothes. And there's so many of these families that are so desperate for clothing items. We've seen all this stuff go out, but we've not had baby clothes. A lot of diapers. Praise the Lord. We need more. Hear me? We need more. Anyway, no water. Am I right, Father? No water, please. No water. There's a big story behind that one. You know, they let me hand out water because they figure that is something that I can't even mess up. I came close yesterday, though. Uh-huh. Look at the head. There it goes. Uh-huh. It had to do with quantity, folks. Of distribution. I didn't spill anything. But I am so pleased and proud to be a part of the outreach of this church and its many parts and pieces. But as Father and I talked about it, I can't help but think about what God may be calling us into in our future. Between services, a couple of men had conversation with me and was asking about perhaps finding other locations and other communities we could serve. And I had a real simple answer for him. I said, "All it takes is money." Yeah. All it's going to take is more money. We need it. He'll say something about that later. But we do. We can effectually do more with our efforts and our money. Now, I asked you what was the greatest sin that we could commit. Without a doubt, the greatest sin that I commit, the absolute greatest sin that I commit, is when I fail to love God with all my heart, my mind, my soul and my strength, and my neighbor as myself. And I do it so easily, just like all of you. Do you remember what Gandhi said about Christians, about us? Remember? He said he really kind of liked the Christ. It was us that he had problems with, the so-called Christians. It's because we don't always exhibit Christ And we end up putting up barriers between Jesus and his salvation and his love for humanity, all of humanity, because we get our own opinions and our own attitudes in the way. And we end up erecting barriers. Remember what Jesus said? And he said, "Let your light shine before the world." Okay. It's time for Donnie. It's time for me to remove the cap that I have placed over mine in all ways. And guess what, church? Same goes for all of you. Unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.